This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Is music in our lives important? What are the benefits, especially for someone with a brain injury? Hi, I'm Jane, manager at Brain Injury Otago. Today I'm joined by Claire Adam. Claire is the choir mistress of the Neuro Singing for Fun Choir. Welcome, Claire, and thank you so much for coming in today to talk with me.
Thank you very much, Jane. It's lovely to be here.
Great, thank you. Firstly, can you tell me a bit about your background?
Well, I suppose music and the performing arts have been part of my life, well, for my whole life, really. And singing is a big has taken on lots of different aspects of my life. But over the last few years, working with groups, getting people singing has become sort of like a mission or a passion of mine. And I've sort of formed quite a few different types of singing groups.
Yeah.
And I've really discovered that, I mean, I believe everyone can sing and everyone's got the right to sing. And we sort of have lost a lot of opportunity to sing together. And singing together is different than singing on your own.
Yeah.
My background is I have studied singing, I've studied theatre, I've studied music. I learned the piano for something like 15 years.
Wow.
And it's become my sort of job as well in lots of different
ways.
It's
pretty cool to be able to do work in what the you area love. That you love, absolutely. So I understand you teach at Otago University. What is your job there and what do you teach?
So I'm a teaching fellow, part-time teaching fellow. So I teach in the Theatre Studies Department, which is under the School of Performing Arts, so which incorporates music and dance as well. And I have the joy of teaching into some of the multifaceted papers. We've got a PERF paper, which, in fact, I'm off to teach this afternoon, which looks at all the disciplines.
Yeah.
So it's really handy for me because I've sort of got music and theatre as my disciplines, and I'll give dance a crack if I have to.
Excellent.
But it's I teach a lot of variety of papers. I teach improvisation, I teach Shakespeare, I teach acting, I teach voice and movement, I teach devising. So again, I feel very privileged that I'm able to work in an area that I love. I also studied at Otago, so in a weird sort of way, it's interesting being back at, well, being in Allen Hall when I was there. I always say to them, I was here when I was 18.
So did you study?
I studied theatre. Yeah, well, I studied music because you couldn't study theatre then, but now you can major in theatre. So it's lovely to sort of be where I started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. With your studies, did they take you elsewhere as well, overseas?
Yes. I lived in the UK for 2.5 years and I did lots and lots of, I had a baby, which is sort of not what you do on your OE, but anyway, it was a very compliant baby, very happy to sit in rehearsal rooms. And I did a lot of theatre. I was involved, I did lots and lots of workshops. So I sort of decided to continue study by doing sort of independent study. So I worked with a wonderful Frenchman called Philippe Gollier, who is still teaching physical theatre. And
wow.
So I was able to do these sort of shorter courses, which in hindsight was a wonderful way of sort of furthering a lot of my passions. So I did that. And I've also, I grew up in Auckland, so I studied theatre through Theatre Corporate, which was a wonderful theatre that existed in the sort of 70s and 80s, and worked with some great practitioner. So I feel like I've worked with a lot of different practitioners, different teachers over the years.
Yeah.
It's been a privilege.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. Interesting. As well as being the choir mistress for the Neuro Choir, you're also involved in other choirs around the region in Dunedin.
Yes.
So, yeah, what choirs are you involved with?
Well, and it's funny you say the word choirs. Often I say singing groups because sometimes the term choir makes people nervous.
Well, it's funny you should say that because that is exactly I was going to say it later on, but I came to the choir yesterday and that was one thing that I always feel a bit nervous about too. And even though I say to all our clients, it is just for fun and there's no requirements to be singing, but you're right, so it should be called singing groups.
Well, a singing group, I think, and I think if, I mean, it's weird. It's the way people perceive things. Like a choir often thinks, like, oh, it's got to be very formal. You've got to be able to sing. You've got to be able to read music. It's very proper. You sing within the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that. And in fact, I don't really do that with many of my choirs. Ironically, I do belong to an actually posh choir. I belong to the Southern Consort of Voices, which is really good for me because it's actually very quite rigid and, you know, like, well, no, rigid's the wrong word, but beautiful music. We can often do 8 parts, and
oh, wow.
You know, you can be on a part on your own, which, you know, can be interesting. So that to me is where I see the word choir.
Yeah.
I've got this group on a Monday morning. On a Monday afternoon, I run a singing group for the Asthma Society, mm-hmm. and it's become really popular. And we've got a range of people that come along to that. So primarily for people with breathing difficulties, obviously singing can be beneficial for that. But the aim is, it's sort of connectivity is the main thing. I also run another little small community group who've sort of under their own volition sort of asked me to work with them. And that's a lovely group. We've actually been always rehearsing in the Women's Pioneer Hall, which interestingly enough is been sold soon, so yes, so that was a wonderful little space to utilise. But so I've got that group, that's quite a small group, and then I've got my bigger group, which is Sounds Nor'easterly, which is a singing group of Northeast Valley. So yeah. That was sort of my first venture into sort of, I got approached many years ago, it would have been about 16 years ago, to form a little community choir,
yeah.
And that stayed, and it's still going, and so it fluctuates in numbers, but and we've performed numerous places. We also took on doing cabarets, community cabarets. We did three of them, which would have themes and characters. And I kept telling everyone, "Oh, we're just going to do a little thing. I'll just put you on stage and look, just put this hat on, and then look, there's some lights. All right, okay, you are in a show. All right." And that was quite been a really fun venture. And what I've really discovered is that people love that sense of community. They love that sense of communion, of coming together,
yeah.
and doing something and having fun, and in lots of different guises. So I sort of love that I've got all these sort of different groups. And I used to have a university one for the university staff, but because of COVID, we haven't quite got that one going again.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because that was the community of the university. But like people would talk about what they did. You wouldn't have a clue what on earth they were talking about, but it was fascinating, you know, where they were within the university, where their office was. I said we should do a walking singing tour of the university.
That would be cool,
you know. Yeah. Like, but even in a small community, you know, well, it's not that small, but compared to a city, the university, that the way the singing group brought together people who wouldn't normally see each other, and that seemed to be the common thing, that regular connection. And discovering, I mean, it's always taught me a lot. Whenever I work with a group, I realise the dynamic. It's not me, it's the dynamic of the group and how that group will want to operate. And I suppose just because I've done it now for quite a while, I love feeding into what the group wants.
Yeah.
And so they are all quite different in a way.
Yeah. I think it's so cool. Do you? I was thinking about some other questions in regards of. Oh yeah, do you, are you involved with other forms of musical theatre groups around as well, around the community?
Well, I have been over more recently. I suppose Opera Targo is an organisation I've been involved in. Unfortunately, we were doing Die Fledermaus by Strauss. Just a really huge opera. And I was directing that, which was fantastic.
Yep.
But because of COVID, it got shut down.
Yeah.
And we had lovely Stephen Chambers, who is a local singer who now is based in Berlin. He came over to sing the main tenor part, but he had to go back. So wonderful to be involved in that. And it's sort of all my sort of skills. I mean, I trained also as a high school teacher for many, many years. And that to me, I think, teaching gives you so many different skills, you know, from being a theatre director to being, an organiser of events, to be I'm also a theatre producer. All that, my school teaching definitely fed into that as a sort of skill base.
Yeah.
Being able to manage, you know, the classroom. And I managed, obviously, I was teaching drama and music. I had lots and lots of different groups that I had to wrangle all the time. Mm. So the opera work. And I've been involved, I'm part of a theatre company called Talking House. And we've been going now for, I would say, almost 30 years. And we do community-based. So it's sort of stories of where we are, and we've done a lot of verbatim plays. We did one about the closing of Cadbury's.
Oh yeah,
and sort of telling the stories of the people. And the way verbatim works is you have the voice of the actual person in your ear, and you're saying it, which is very. And I was an actor in that.
Yeah,
and we've done a huge variety of different shows about different things related to Otago and Dunedin. Yeah. So that's that. So my passion for sort of working on lots of different levels with the arts on community basis. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's in a professional capacity if we have professional performers, you know, telling the story. I also worked for ID Services for a very long time, for over 12 years.
Right.
And I ran two drama groups. I had an adult drama group and a transition high school student drama group. And we would do a show every year and
yeah.
we would devise it,
oh,
which
wow.
was, I loved. I look back at all the different styles of shows we did and telling different. We did once one about the Greek gods where everyone was a different god, and when Hercules, who was played by a female, was turning 21, so was having a party and all the gods came. And it was so much fun. So
oh dear,
much
that
fun.
Sounds
so
amazing.
And again, so lots of theatre, lots of music. Lots of that collaboration and working together. We yeah. also did Romeo and Juliet one year. That was an ambitious undertaking. Again, lots and lots of fun. Yeah. I taught them all Shakespearean insults. And so when in doubt, we just all yelled out insults whenever you felt like it. So community arts, I think, comes in lots and lots of different guises. And Dunedin's a great city for it. And it's a great city to be involved. There's so many different companies and shows yeah. and, you know, utilising a whole range of people, getting people involved. We have a wonderful art strategy in Dunedin called Aratoi. And its philosophy is about, it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Like arts, so participation, but also being audience members, also, you know, finding that support in lots and lots of different levels.
Yeah.
So I think in the size of our city, we're really lucky.
Yeah, sounds.
But it's just, we have to just remind ourselves to go to these things
yep.
and be aware of them. And I think with COVID, that's a big thing, getting participation back in people's sort of mindset. Because
yep.
I used to be out virtually four nights a week doing either singing or theatre. And then it's taken me a long time going, how did I go out every night? I'm very tired. Yeah. I need to go to bed. And it's taken me a while to get back into the swing of things.
So I
totally see that people sort of, the yeah. thought of doing something's exhausting.
Yeah.
So I think we've lost a little bit of that capacity.
Yeah. He's hoping we get it back.
I hope so. I think people, the other thing is though, when people do something, they start realising the benefits. And I always say, come to a singing session. You won't feel bad after.
Right.
You won't feel worse.
Like, well, I can attest to that because I thoroughly enjoyed the singing session yesterday. And I sort of thought, oh gosh, everyone's going to be listening to me singing. No one cared, and I think that was the loveliest part about it, actually.
Yes. Well, that's a really important thing because often people say, I can't sing, I sing off tune. I go, wow, you spend a lot of time saying the negative of what you do, and I think. Once you're in a group, I mean, my aim is that we just make a collective sound. It just happens.
Mm.
I've got a very, very loud voice, so I sing incredibly loudly. And I say, look, I want you to get away from thinking about what you sound like. Think about what is the collective sound.
Yeah.
And if people are all sort of giving their all a little bit, you forget and you can't hear yourself. I mean, the problem is when we sing alone, we can only hear ourselves, so we critique ourselves. And then when you doubt it, you suddenly go, oh, what's the tune I've got? Oh, I don't know where I'm going. Or what's the, you know. And I know that even, you know, like sometimes if I'm not sure of something, I'm on my own singing, I think, oh, okay, that was wrong. And you suddenly pull back. You have this thing of, oh, that didn't sound good. And particularly the thought of someone listening to you, for a lot of people is you know, a very traumatic experience.
Yeah.
So, no, we don't do solos. I never make someone sing on their own. But if someone wants to, that's great. But it's part of that collective. And the moment we're collectively doing something, we become one. There's some I love that concept, and that doing it on your own is one thing, but coming together. And music is something you share in the moment. You can't sort of be half doing it and go, oh, I'll just every second sort of bar, I'll add something. You've got to be present to do it.
Yeah.
And my philosophy is I just get people going, having a bit of fun, and before they know it, they're singing the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're letting their ear tell them. Because a lot of, if we haven't sung for a long time, I mean, children have got amazingly good ear. Mm. And apparently, this is, I don't know if this is true, I don't know how they prove it, that babies are born with perfect pitch. That we actually, our sensory hearing is so acute, we can, and that's how we learn to speak, and that's how we learn to recognise familiar voices. And they say, you know, babies in the womb can recognise their mother's voice because that's what they've heard. So we have that hearing that we lose and lose and lose and lose. Our hearing deteriorates through our lives, and our pitch sense does too. But also if we don't utilise it and think about it. So I mean, I'm fascinated. Obviously, I studied music and do a lot of music, know a lot about the sort of the theory of it, the mechanics of it.
Mm.
But things like going up and down in pitch, we sort of lose that people can lose that confidence, but they can get it back really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's so people go, nah, can't do that. And, you know, the worst thing I hear is that, oh, I was told I was singing off tune, so just mouth the words. And the amount of time I hear adults tell me that.
Wow.
And I go, I don't know where all these sort of nasty, vindictive critiquers of people's voices were. But obviously there was a period of time where, you know, a lot of that happened, saying, no, don't sing. It doesn't sound good.
But one thing that I found yesterday was all the exercises that you did. Suddenly your voice sounds, it seems easier to sing. And I guess that leads into what I wanted to talk a bit about today was about the benefits of singing with a brain injury. So, as some of the things that you do in the singing group, specifically for helping with breathing, or are the things that you are focusing on in some of the songs or some of the exercises?
Yes, there is. I mean, I want to make sure that I say that it's something I do with everyone, every group I do. So things like the breathing, things like so obviously breathing is a really, really important aspect of singing. When we talk, obviously we breathe all the time. We need to.
Yeah.
When we go to use our voice, so for singing or if we're going to speak to a group, you suddenly need more awareness of your breath. You need what we call breath support. So I teach a lot of principles of breathing. And breathing is also something that is really, really, it's good for us. I mean, it's good for our body. It's good for our mind.
Yep.
You know, it's used a lot as different techniques for people who maybe, you know, experience anxiety, you know, and it's become a lot more common that people and health professionals talk about the breath and the importance of the breath. So it's one of the benefits of singing, definitely, because you realise when you start using more sort of deeper diaphragmatical breathing, you get a sort of like a kick off it. You know, it's good. It's good for you. Your brain slows down. Often, I mean, I work a lot with actors, and when someone is, say, reciting something or doing in a play, they forget a line. We hold our breath. We go, and I always say, no, you've got to breathe. The moment we hold our breath, we're sort of stopping that oxygen flow, and it's not going to aid in anything like memory.
No.
Yeah, so it's breathe, 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 and then you'll often find the line will come. And I say that a lot to different groups that I work with.
Yeah.
You know, if we are feeling we're not sure about something, just keep the flow. Realise when you stop breathing. And we often do thinking or trying to remember. Memory is, you know, we all have issues with our memories in different capacities, and it suddenly can abandon us. But it's interesting how breath can really help with that.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. So what are some other benefits, say, for someone with a brain injury that singing could bring to them, provide them?
Well, again, there's lots of, I mean, I'm not a medical practitioner, but lots of physiological benefits in terms of, again, just with that oxygen flow, just physically, but also from a sort of mentally and emotionally, obviously it really, really aids us. Melody taps in, I mean, you'll know more about this, different parts of the brain, and it's like speech as well. So it's a different part of speech. So people who have, say, had a stroke or something like that, they often can lose a bit of their speech, but they can actually sing, which is a really, really fascinating thing, because the music part of the brain, now I'm going into territory I do not know about, but it does come from a certain place.
Wow.
And so things like melody, and you can intone words on melody, yeah. which is singing, can be utilised for people with strokes. And I've really noticed people who have had strokes that come to my group, the way they will start, they will sing a phrase quite clearly.
Wow, that's so fascinating. We had client came and talked on the radio show, and she talked about how after her brain injury she was having trouble with her speech, and she got it back by listening to music and singing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's so cool, because she knew all the words, and she said it just, she put her, this is like old school, Walkman on. And sung. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
No, and I know there's been different programs that people have. I know there's one in America. I saw a movie about it, can't remember what it was. But it was about sort of people with dementia and how listening to music and singing it suddenly brought them to the present again.
Yeah.
You know, and they were able to sort of, interact with people.
Amazing.
Yeah, wonderful.
What will people attending the choir notice most about coming along?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think it's very individual, but I think, well, what I really noticed with my Monday group is a sense of connection with each other and an ownership of the group.
Yeah.
And definitely the you know, I mean, I had a break because I was doing a show and I was away as well. And then, you know, the comments that, you know, I've missed singing on a Monday. Mm. It's become part of our ritual of the week. I go, I need my Monday singing. It's like having a coffee.
Yeah. You know? Well, that was a comment yesterday, wasn't it? That someone said they didn't want to get out of bed because it was a cold, miserable day yesterday, but they were so glad they did once they'd been to the singing group.
Yeah.
And we definitely noticed it with COVID when we couldn't have the group on, how many people were ringing up and saying, when is it going to be back on? Yes. We want to go back and sing. And they were prepared to sing with a mask on. That's how important it was to them.
Yes. No, I remember. Yes, it was wonderful. So the connectivity of being there together. And I think they know, I mean, I do have a sort of, well, but I sort of have, you know, we do different things. We've got shorter songs, we've got longer songs. I get suggestions from people. So people know this now and know that, you know, if they have a song they really want the group to sing, we'll give it a go.
Yeah.
We've got certain songs that we know very well. I always throw a new song in
there. I was amazed that lots of the songs that you sang yesterday, no one needed the song sheets.
Yes.
They just knew them.
They knew them.
There's a lot of songs. I was really impressed. And a huge variety. So if someone had a genre that they particularly were interested in, you'd give it a crack.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool. So what have been some of the highlights for you with the group?
I mean, it is that seeing the connectivity of seeing each other. I mean, we had two people who hadn't been all year, and the joy of them coming and going, I've missed this, you know, that's a real highlight. Just their feedback of the way, you know, the music affects them and being part of the group. I really, really enjoy. We have performed once, and that is an aspect that I think maybe we can. I've got this idea. If I put it out here now, I might have to do it. Where I've got all these different groups, and I do very similar songs. Sometimes I only teach like the melody line, but for another group, I might do the harmonies.
Right.
As actually to have a gathering of all my singing groups.
That would be amazing.
Little, you know, and sharing
a performance.
Yeah. I mean, I've touted the idea as a fringe show possibly.
Amazing.
Which would be quite. And I've mentioned it to groups, and they would all. They all love the idea of it, and I think it would be because that collective singing is great, and even getting bigger is you know,
and that sense of being part of that bigger
and realizing, oh, we've got something in common. Yeah. We all know this song.
Or, yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so that's one of my ambitions, is to bring my singing groups together, because I think I would love them to all meet each other, because I think I get the privilege of seeing them all. I mean, I must tell, because I often say to a group, have I taught you? I've taught you this before, and they all go, no, you haven't. Because I go, oh, I taught someone. I feel you've all learnt it.
So, oh, actually, that video is amazing. And they're all singing without any background music, as it's a cappella. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
And it's really powerful.
Oh, yeah. No. And seeing people, and I know for family members, when we did when we sung for Brain Week, the family members they were all bawling their eyes out.
Oh, Yeah.
Seeing their family member up there.
Performing.
So it is that is something I do. I love getting people on. That's my other aim, is to get people on stage and perform.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the rewards for everyone is just,
Yeah.
So that's, it's been hard. I thought about it before COVID of doing another one, but it's just been, you know, but now's the time to start planning.
Let's pencil that in, that big performance. Yeah, I'm excited about already. Thank you so much, Clee, for talking to me today. The Neuro Singing for Fun group, I'm not going to call it choir anymore, is open to anyone with a neurological condition. It's a gold coin donation to attend. If you are interested in coming along to the singing group, then give us a call at Brain Injury Otago on 4716 156 to find out more details. Thank you so much.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.